All right. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, one verse, verse 58. The Apostle Paul is now closing the 15th chapter of this first letter to the Corinthians with a charge to them and to you and I, saints of God, to be fully persuaded in our own minds, completely settled upon the truth of the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, but also of the resurrection of the saints, of the just, at the return of Christ. This to include all of us who remain alive unto the coming of the Lord Jesus, we shall also be supernaturally changed at that day. On that day and at that hour, these corruptible bodies will be made incorruptible and immortal. Now, Paul speaks of many things, and so I think this, therefore, I think could go back really to the entire letter. Paul has taught much doctrine, much truth. He's answered many questions. He's strengthen the things that remain, if you will, in the saints of God in Corinth. They had many problems, as you know. I mean, when you begin the book, you see there were contentions between brethren in the church. Paul, he opens the letter and he says that. Now, they were a gifted church. They were enriched in all knowledge, but they were a very immature church at the same time. So Paul taught them many things. So this is a great epistle for any church to study. But Paul closes now. He says, therefore, because of all of what I've taught you, including this 15th chapter, therefore, my beloved brethren, he's speaking to his brothers and sisters in Christ at Corinth. And listen, he's speaking to us when we read the word of God. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore, since we know that Christ is risen from the dead and that he was seen of the apostles and of those select women that were there, the Marys and those women that came to the grave that early morning, and he was seen of above 500 eyewitnesses. Therefore, since we know that our faith in the risen Christ is not in vain, Paul goes through that in the 15th chapter. It's his apology about the resurrection, his defense of the resurrection. Therefore, since we know that we believe in the risen Christ, and that the risen Christ is a very key component of the gospel of Jesus Christ, since we know that, therefore, be ye steadfast and unmovable in it. Be steadfast and unmovable in it. Now, what does the word steadfast mean? What it literally means, which is kind of interesting, it literally means to be seated, to be firmly seated, seated in a position, anchored and settled, to be fixed upon a position. Additionally, this is it's a present imperative command. Be ye therefore steadfast. Paul is giving an imperative command. And it's a present imperative. You remember what a present imperative means. It means do this now, do it always. In other words, always, habitually be steadfast and unmovable. There's never a time in our Christian lives when we can be spongy, where we can be shaky, where we can be movable. We should never be movable. I'll show you something that blessed my soul in a minute when I studied, but I'm not going to tell you now. I'm going to just let you sit there and stew for a few minutes. But steadfast literally means to be rock hard, to be anchored and settled. And then, again, it means do this continually, do this always, Paul's saying. So be steadfast and unmovable. Always be like that as a Christian. Listen, that's one of the identifying characteristics. If you profess to be a Christian, it ought to be one of the identifiers of you. People ought to know this about you. They ought to know that you can't be moved. You will not compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will not. You can't be moved off of that position, off of your faith in Christ. You should be steadfastly minded. We're going to meet some saints, or one saint in particular. She is the trophy of being steadfastly minded. And I know you know who I'm thinking about right now. But that's one of the identifying characteristics of the Christian, is that we are steadfastly minded in our faith and obedience to Christ. Listen, when you look at these things, and we preach the word of God to the responsibility of man. We preach that, listen, you're being given a command. This is what you must do. That's what Paul is saying. Be steadfast and unmovable. But there's also the aspect of the Christian life where we know this is who we must be. I must be this. This is who I not ought to be. It's who I must be. I must be steadfast and unmovable. How can I be a Christian if my soul is not rooted and fixed upon Christ? How can I be a Christian if I'm not rooted and fixed upon Christ? How can I be a Christian if, apart from being steadfast and diligent in the Word of God, being a Berean, knowing the truth of God's Word? It's a terrible thing to meet a Christian that can't tell you about his Lord or her Lord. Beloved, how can you and I be Christians apart from being steadfast, diligent in the Word? How can we be Christians without being steadfast and faithful to the church gathering? How can we be Christians if we're not steadfast and fervent in secret and intimate prayer to our Heavenly Father? It's who we should be. It's who we should always be. But not only should we be steadfast, we should also be unmovable. Unmovable. Be ye steadfast and unmovable. To be unmovable means you're not able to be shaken. It's to hold your ground. I still remember visiting my dad. He was stubborn to a fault. And he was in the hospital. And I remember this specifically in this example. And I said, Dad, you got to go back to your room, to his hospital room. And he wanted to always wave you goodbye, and he wanted to see you go, and then he would go. Like if you left the house, he was going to stay at the front door and wait till you were out of sight, then he would close the door. And I was always telling him, go in and sit down first so I can make sure you got in. Well, in the hospital, I said, come on, Dad, let's go sit down. And I took him by the arm, and he dug in, and he wouldn't move. I grabbed him, and he was like, I'll be fine right here. And he wouldn't move. So finally, I had to leave. He was obstinate. He wasn't going to move from that place. Beloved, that's how we need to be for our Lord. Unmovable, not able to be shaken or unsettled or moved away from your faith and love to Christ. That's where we must be, brethren. Paul taught a lot of truth and doctrine to the Corinthian church. Again, not just in the 15th chapter, in the entire letter. Now he's charging them to be steadfast and unmovable in it, in the things that he had taught them. Again, these two spiritual identifiers, they're spiritual identifiers, they're Christian identifiers. It's who we should be. People should look and say, oh yeah, no, they're not going to do that. No, they're Christians. That's how they should talk about us. It shouldn't be, yeah, you might get some wiggle room in there. No, there should be no wiggle room in us to sin or to compromise our faith in Christ. It should be, these two, being steadfast and unmovable, should be two of the most prominent characteristics of our lives in our faith toward Christ. Now, let me introduce you to the first one, Ruth. You knew I was going there. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 15. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 15. She's a trophy of steadfastness and being unmovable. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 15. You know what was going on here. We talked about this with the children in the back. You know that Ruth now was fixated upon staying with Naomi, but why? Do you think she was just fixated on staying with Naomi because she loved Naomi? Well, she loved Naomi. But the reason she loved Naomi was because she loved Naomi's God. She loved the true God of Israel. And listen, if she wouldn't have been introduced to and believed in the God of Israel, I submit to you, she'd have went back to Moab like Orpah. She'd have turned around and went back. Why should she follow Naomi to a strange land unless she was following Naomi to worship the God of Israel? Notice verse 15. She said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw that she, that is when Naomi saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Now those two words, steadfastly minded, you know what they mean in the Hebrew? One aspect is she was spiritually fixed and hardened. The other, she was obstinate and stubborn toward God. You weren't going to get her off of what she was going to do. She told Naomi, "Stop telling me to go back. Like my dad in the middle of the hall, I'm not going anywhere." And it says after that, Naomi stopped talking to her. She just turned around and left. Didn't say anything. Finally, she just said, She left. And Ruth followed her. Ruth was following God. And when you read the rest of the book of Ruth, you could see when Boaz told her, "It has fully been told me of all that you've done for your mother-in-law and how you've come to trust under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty." She trusted God. That's why she came back. Don't flatter Naomi too much. Psalm 55 and verse 22. Actually, Psalm 78. "Be ye steadfast." Be ye steadfast and unmovable. Steadfast, Psalm 78, 5. This is a psalm of the children of Israel. It's one of my favorite psalms. It talks about us teaching our children the truths of God. We'll just read verses 5 to verse 9. It says, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children." That's our responsibility, that the generation to come might know them. Know what? Know the truths of God. "Even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them," what's them? The word of God to their children, "that they might set their hope in God, that they might be fixed in their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers." This is bad stubborn and bad obstinate. A stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright. See that? Their hearts were fixed on a wrong course. That's tough. That's hard. Listen, when you talk to someone whose hearts are fixed in the wrong course, see, they were stubborn and rebellious. And as your heart should be fixed and unmovable upon Christ, their hearts were fixed and unmovable against Christ. See that? They set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And you want to see the fruit of that? Just look at verse 9. "The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle." They turned back. It's like being an equipped child of God, equipped as a Christian, and turning back in the day of battle. So these were steadfast, but steadfastly set against God. That's not what you want to be. That's a contrast. Acts 2:41. Listen, when we see these Christian identifiers of what we should be, beloved, it should latch hold of our affections and our desires. Our faith should take hold of these things. And those things that we read in the Word of God should migrate from our hearts into our intimate prayers unto our Lord, where we call upon Him and Ask him to make us to be steadfast like the saints of old that we read of. Look at verse 41, Acts chapter 2. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. That's us. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. We were added to the church, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. That should be us, brethren, continuing steadfastly. Look at the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 21. It was when Agabus, the prophet, prophesied that Paul would go to Jerusalem and he would be put in shackles. Remember that? They would shackle him up. And the brethren there were going, "No, don't go. Don't go, Paul. Don't go." Verse 12, Acts 21. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him, that is Paul, not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." He was fixed on course. And when he would not be persuaded, sounds like Ruth, huh? Then the men there at that place said, "We ceased, saying, 'The will of the Lord be done.'" See, he was steadfast in a good way, in the right way. Colossians 1:21. This is not deep theology. This is simply rubber meets the road Christianity. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. Colossians 1:21. Paul writes to the saints at Colossae. He says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled." That's unmovable. "And be not moved away." See that? "Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." What does that indicate to you? It indicates that you can be moved away, that you need to be fixed on course. Hebrews, "Beware lest there be, brethren, in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God," being moved away. Paul speaks of some that cast off their first faith. Beloved, these are warnings and encouragements to us. 2:5 of Colossians, you're right there. Paul says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Do we behold that in us? "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And then last of all, 2 Peter 3:17. 2 Peter, the second epistle of Peter, chapter 3 and verse 17. One of my favorites. This is a good segue for we're talking about being steadfast, being unmovable, and here's a segue to abounding. So, yes, steadfast and unmovable, not going backwards, but holding firm, holding fast, holding fast, but now Paul is about to tell us moving forward, abounding, flourishing in Christ. "Look, ye therefore," verse 17, "beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and ever. Amen." So, perfect segue for moving forward. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. "In everything that I've taught you," Paul says, "yes, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Yes, the resurrection of the saints. Yes, that those saints that remain and are alive shall be changed. Be steadfast and unmovable in your faith in Christ, but always and also be abounding." in the work of the Lord. We are not only to maintain our own spiritual steadfastness and be settled and unmovable in our faith in the Lord Jesus, but we are to also always to be abounding, pressing forward, flourishing in Christ. We are never to be standing still as Christians. Listen, if someone meets you that meets you today as a Christian, and then they meet up with you again in 6 months, there ought to be growth. There ought to be wisdom that has been gained. There ought to be more light in your soul. There ought to be more truth that you can speak of, beloved. We ought to be moving forward with every passing day. We are never to be standing still as Christians, but always abounding, moving forward in the work of the Lord, always growing, always learning, always being made wiser, holier, and brought nearer to the resurrected Christ. More today than yesterday. Listen, if there is such a thing as being made more alive today than yesterday, you need to be scratching for it. You need to be going after that. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do today, do it with thy might. Do it with all your might. He says, and I don't remember to quote the rest of it, so I'll read it to you. But whatsoever thy hand doeth, do it with thy might. Solomon says, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. There's no more work to do. You got to do it now. Do it with all your might. Go after the Lord Jesus with all your heart. And whatsoever you do, Paul says to the Colossians, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Romans 13 and verse 11. Always abounding. Always abounding. I love this. Paul says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You know, tomorrow, if the Lord gives you tomorrow, you'll be closer to your salvation than when you believe. We're getting closer to that final time when our faith will be sight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7. Paul here says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that your love would abound. And we read that throughout the New Testament epistles. Jude 20, one more verse, the book of Jude, verse 20. Jude, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. And so back to 1 Corinthians as we close. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So he uses the work of the Lord, and that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Listen, this is what you need to know. Whether you're a preacher or not, the Christian life is the work of the Lord. You labor in the Lord. We are all workmen for the Lord. We are laborers in our Lord's field. As Ruth went to glean in the field of Boaz, you are to glean in the field of Christ. Laborers in the Word of God, in prayer, as we seek the truth and presence of our Lord. And listen, this is a good work. It is the best work. Listen, if you don't think the Christian life is work, Well, then you're not in the Christian life. It's work, and you need to work. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's work, brethren, but it's a good work. John chapter 6, and we'll finish up here. John chapter 6, the people that Jesus fed with bread, the multitudes, they followed him around the lake because he fed them. And he said in verse 26 of John chapter 6, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not, or don't toil, and don't be engaged or work for meat that perishes, which implies you need to work and labor for that meat that doesn't perish. Look, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. That you believe on him whom he hath sent. Beloved, it's a good work. And so know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's work to strengthen those truths that you have been taught from the Holy Scriptures, from chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, about the gospel, which Paul said, I hope you didn't believe it in vain, but if you believe that Jesus died or rose again, then you will be brought with Christ, he said. And so believe these things. He said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We need to be like the psalmist, Psalm 57:7, and I'll be through. The psalmist in Psalm 57:7, psalmist said, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. It's fixed. Listen, you need to be obstinately stubborn and hard for God. You need to be obstinately stubborn and hard for God. You need to be unmovable. Don't let the world, don't let sin, don't let anybody take you off of being rooted and fixed, unmovable from Christ this day and from the truths that he teaches you from the Word of God. God teaches you a truth from the Word of God as you've learned the resurrection. Stick a flag in the ground and hold that fort, hold that position. We need to hold, brethren, hold fast. Paul told Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words, he told them. We need to hold it fast. Listen, the Christian life is full of imperatives. It's full of commands. It teaches us to bear up like soldiers and hold our position for Christ. We must do it. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always moving forward. Yes, we'll fall down. Yes, we'll fail. Yes, we'll have tough days. Get right back up and push forward, brethren, for Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, help us. Oh God, help me, Heavenly Father. Oh Lord, may we be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Oh God, help us, teach us. You have taught us Christ. As Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, when he tells the Ephesian Christians, you've learned Christ. If you've been taught by him, Lord, we've been taught by you. Oh God, let that truth be realized in our own personal walk, in our lives, in our thoughts, in our actions, in our words, in our desires. Help us, Lord, and we'll give you the praise. Bless your people as we go to our homes. Lord, I pray that you'll give us rest this day from our labors in the word. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.